You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Tuesday. All Marine Radio here. Pretty cool stuff going on. I reached out last week to the Air Force. And, I had met the wife of the chief of staff of the Air Force. I got an email from her yesterday. Her name's Dawn. Her husband, their last name is Goldfein. Anyway, I've only read great things, and I talked about kind of at the. Oh, wait a minute. The window's open. It is open today. Hold on. Yep, it was open. I'll tell you a stupid story about that. I couldn't figure out why, on just about every day, I could hear lawnmowers at, 7 o'clock in the morning. I can hear lawnmowers here. And, most communities have quiet hours, right? You can't, especially if you're a professional business, you can't start mowing lawns at 6 o'clock in the morning because the sun's up, okay? But I would hear these lawnmowers going off, So the other morning, I don't know why, but I was outside walking around the back of my house, and I hear this fan, and I look up, and it's the attic fan, right? and it's a pretty robust fan. That was the lawnmower sound. And I started laughing. I'm like, what a dumbass. But the, anyway. So, there's a story behind. And the fan's like right over this window, like at the top of the house. That's why I can hear it. Anyway. So, I reached out to Dawn Goldman, and she sent me a really nice email back yesterday morning, and then I got an email from somebody who works the commanding general for resiliency, and said, you know, I'd like to hear more about what you've done with 2nd Marine Division. So contacted General Furness, and I said, hey, would you mind, you know, being a part of this? Because maybe we can help the Air Force. So, you know, I always talk about what a cool dude I am and how cool my life is. And and I'm not joking about it one bit. And but the best part of all that is every one of us can do this. And you can, every one of you can have these same kind of moments as you affect other people, and they talk to somebody else and say, would you mind speaking to so-and-so? And you say, oh, God, no, I'd love to. And so so I'll keep my fingers crossed that, that you know, I mean, that I can, you know, we can get post-traumatic winning. And I'll say this, man. The Marines of the 2nd Marine Division are writing a little bit of history. And I don't know that they rightly know it, but and hopefully it'll save other people's lives. And so it's the coolest job in the world. And I have my fingers crossed that somebody will say, hey, we'd love for you to fly back and do it for us. And so hopefully that'll happen. So or at least let me work with somebody. Pick a base out here in California, and let me go work for them and test it out. If it doesn't work, if it's bullshit, then it's bullshit. But I mean, if you didn't read the discussion last week, was pretty stunning. I don't track the Air Force suicide numbers. I'd not seen an article about it. And I cover, you know, I watch DOD news pretty closely. But last week, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, General Goldfein, who's an impressive dude. I don't know if you've ever watched him in hearings, but he's a pretty bright, articulate guy all the time. And I specifically remember him in the base housing mold stuff. Which I will tell you, in my opinion, I haven't seen anything yet good come out of that. I saw all the chips go flying up in the air that day as everybody was outraged. I didn't see, I haven't seen the subsequent follow through action that keeps that from happening. In fact, you know, disturbing, I want to say at Lackland Air Force Base, they just moved, you know, airmen out of I want to say two different barracks. And the way that happened was they were posting stuff online. Well, wait a minute. I thought all that stuff was supposed to get inspected. I thought everybody had everybody's word that this was going to get taken care of. And they start posting pictures on social media. Then somebody gets their ass in a ringer. And so to me, the test of a leader is, would you do it when nobody's watching? It's like the test of a good player. Will you do the same things at practice in the games, whether somebody's watching and supervising you or not? That's when you become, in my opinion, a really good player, that you understand it. So, anyway, so he, you know, he's, I remember him from that, and I remember being impressed. The other guy I remember being very impressed with was, at the time, he was the Secretary of the Army, and that's now the current current Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. So he's very impressive in that thing, in terms of tackling the problem. But anyway, so I keep my fingers. So they came out and said that they were Last year, the Air Force was the only service to have their suicide number go down. Now, it didn't go down very much. It was from 63 to 61. But, I mean, at least, you know, you're trending in the right way. So, last week, the Air Force announced that they would be conducting a stand down. And the reason they were going to do the stand down was because of the amount of suicide that they've had in the Air Force this year, and that is they've had 79 suicides. They had 61 last year. They're on a pace to get to 135, which is more than twice the suicide rate they had last year. So, I mean, stunning numbers. I saw it and I was like, holy smokes. So, anyway, but an opportunity to go kind of spread the word. So, I keep my fingers crossed that hopefully we can get post-traumatic winning and in front of the Air Force. And in the email that I sent, I said, you know, everything the Air Force needs, they have already. Right? They have. And so, but the cool part now is that I can point to the 2nd Marine Division and say, hey, there's somebody already doing this in a big way. And they have an extremely young population, and they're able to do this. And so, so it's pretty cool. So, anyway, keep my fingers crossed on that today. If you have not read Andy Milburn's article, what the hell did I do with it? Well, it was here a few minutes ago. I don't know. I don't know what I did with it. But he wrote it. The link is in yesterday's post for the second hour, so you can go check it out. Andy, who I taught at IRC, which is one of the reasons he's as bright as he is. Exactly. You know, essentially, when do you disobey an order? But, and so we talked about Andy's career yesterday, and as usual, we digress through the discussion. So today we'll talk about the article that he wrote, the intellectual framework for it, and I'll ask him to, you know, as we go through, ping it off of, you know, what booms in my head when I hear these discussions is a quote from General Johnston, who was the Army Chief of Staff and obviously a member of the Joint Chiefs during Vietnam. He said he would have to go to his grave knowing that he did not do the right thing, that he did not speak out when he should have spoken out. And so we'll ask Andy to talk about, you know, what he wrote in light of Vietnam, in light of the decision, you know, to start a war that still hasn't ended in Iraq, that has now inflamed the region to include, you know, impacting Europe. And that was George Bush and his and all his brilliant advisors. And so they gave us that gift, a war, an optional war that we didn't have to fight. Based on bullshit intelligence, we could contain the Soviet Union for 50 years, 45 years, and we couldn't contain Saddam Hussein. So it was in my opinion, all that was intellectual top cover for an experiment that a small group of neoconservatives thought that they could pull off. We can flip an Islamic State, and the world continues to pay for it as they write books and live their cushy ass life. And then the third thing that we'll ask him to ping it off of what he wrote off of was something that, again, we talk about these things all the time here on All Marine Radio, and that is the decision to expand the ground war in Afghanistan. Nobody will quarrel with having to go there, having to find Osama bin Laden, having to take on the Taliban there, and essentially put them in, you know, to take all of that down. And so, Nobody argues with that. But the decision to expand the ground war. I mean, again, we talk about it all the time. If you're willing to be there for that, if you're willing to be there for 2.5 generations, then maybe you'll undertake it. And you've said that to the American people, that we'll sustain casualties for the majority of this time. But when you don't do any of that, and you find yourself, in that situation, you look and say, how do we get here? So again, and Andy's point is, it's more than simply if it's immoral, unethical, or illegal, that there's a broader case to be made. And for those of you who've heard this program, I'm in 100% agreement, because let me tell you, the politicians, the only thing that checks them, right, is if somebody will take them on in public. Somebody with credibility will take them on in public. And if nobody will do that, then you're going to go to these ill-advised military events. And when you go there, what's going to happen is nothing good. And look, we can look, starving people in a crisis in Somalia, leads to us going there, and ultimately the whole Black Hawk down, and what 25 U.S. Army Rangers killed, and then we leave. Before that, it was into Lebanon. How does this tie into our national security, and are we doing things the right way? And we limped out of Lebanon after the barracks got dropped, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we don't really need to be there. What do we think we're doing there? What are we accomplishing there? Other than sitting people in a helpless position, making them targets, and there's an American flag some planted somewhere there. Yeah, I don't know. And so the question is, if the flag officers and general officers of the United States military will not live up to their oath and will not make sure that the things we go to do militarily are tied to a grand strategy that is in the nation's best interest, then to me they have a moral obligation to stand up and resign, and then in a very, very public way testify in front of Congress. And to make statements and say, I think this is wrong, because that's the only thing politicians, respond to. It's the only thing. Arrogant people like Don Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, that whole group, who've given us the events that, the nation still is impacted by. Innocent people are impacted by. So anyway, so Andy's written a really good article, and so I would recommend that you read it. As I said, you can find the link in yesterday's podcast. It's published in War on the Rocks right now. Andrew Milburn, Milburn. So again, it's something we talk about a lot here on All Marine Radio, and so we'll take that up with him again. All right, so Andy will join us in about 45 minutes. About 5 minutes after the top of the hour, and we'll check news headlines. There's a bunch of it. Still some head shaking, stuff coming out of the Navy, and just tough. I mean, it's like I said, it's head shaking stuff. Like, we're doing what? So, good morning to you on this Tuesday. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. Thank you. is dedicated to all families and the friends of people that were killed over the weekend in two separate incidents, and our politicians will play games with it. All the rest of us will sit around and wonder if they will do anything that I think most people say that should have been done a long time ago, and that is, you know, background checks for guns, linking mental health records when somebody's designated to be, you know, a problem, that somehow that gets cross-indexed to firearms sales. And we don't do that now, because you've got a right to be free in this country and have the government not intrude on your life. Is there a balance to that? So anyway, we'll sit and watch if they can do the right thing, or if this will just be a political football that they kick around for a while, well, as long as it's you know, popular on the 24-hour news network. So this is dedicated to all those people who are in the process of mourning, in the process of burying loved ones. And hopefully somebody you know has heard of post-traumatic winning, and they could help you understand what you'll live with for the rest of your life. And maybe you can turn your suffering into something meaningful and change your own life. So with that in mind, it's dedicated to them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning. The door number four crew. All right, the weather in Marineland, sunny in 83 in Quantico, so nice morning so far in Quantico. Oddly enough, a little bit cooler down the coast, normally not the case, but it's partly cloudy, 81 at Camp Lejeune, cloudy in 86 in 29 Palms, sunny in 68 at Camp Pendleton, that's weird, normally Pendleton's cloudy. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 78, normal. Okinawa's warmer, the home of 3MF and the Marines of the 3rd Marine Division, dark cloudy in 84. In the in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is 106 and sunny in Ramadi. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it's 102, dark and clear. That's right. It's 102 at night, okay? You know what that means? It's hot in the day. Here at the home of Almarine Radio, it is mostly cloudy and 69 degrees. Looking for high of 82 today, 79 tomorrow, and 80 on Thursday. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll check these headlines. So don't touch that dial. More of Almarine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah, I'll let it all out. But
alright, much in the news. Again, this whole thing with the Navy is troubling, you know, and I shrug my shoulders. I mean, the Navy honestly has become a shit show. And it's not going to end anytime soon. Headline in Stars and Stripes Above the Fold: Navy Admiral who oversaw SEAL prosecution implicated in Fat Leonard document syndicate. Well, if the documents indicate this, this is not a surprise, right? Not a surprise. So why is this, right? Why is this an issue? So this is from the San Diego Union-Tribune, carried by Stars and Stripes. Redacted Navy documents and the command history of Navy Region Southwest Commander Rear Admiral Betty Bolivar indicate she was investigated in connection with the so-called Fat Leonard scandal and had received gifts from the contractor in 1998. 21 years ago, a female officer on board the salvage ship Salvor, S-A-L-V-O-R, accepted gifts in the form of a hotel room, dinner, drinks, entertainment, and a golf outing at Kota Kinabalu, Malaysia, in August of 1998, according to a memo signed by Admiral Philip Davidson in July 2017. Although her name was redacted from the documents, Bolivar, a Navy deep-sea diver, was the commanding officer of the Salvor in 1998 when the offenses occurred. A lieutenant commander at the time, Bolivar was in charge of the ship from January 98 through January 2000, Navy records show. Typically, this class of ship carried six officers. Few officers fit the description Davidson provides in the memo. Scores of Navy officials were alleged to have attended dinners and accepted gifts from contractor Leonard Francis, known as Fat Leonard. All but a few of their names were redacted from the Navy's public record. Bolivar's gender and relatively small size of the salvage community made her identity apparent from the document. So what does that have to do with anything? All right, the Navy's already digested that. They've judged her either culpable or not culpable. Why? I don't get the there. How does that impact this? Despite finding misconduct in the case, Admiral Davidson wrote in his memo that the unidentified officer, Bolivar, continued to be a significant contributor and a valued leader in the Navy. He recommended she remain in command. He wrote that he personally addressed this through administrative action and considered the matter closed, which would be a non-punitive letter of caution. Right? Not a part of your official record, blah, 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 as opposed to a punitive letter of caution, which is part of your record. So, she was, quote unquote, the Navy mayor of San Diego and was the convening authority over two SEAL court martials. So, on Thursday, Richardson yanks the convening authority away from her, and then over the weekend, he became the convening authority now for all these court martials. So I don't get it. The day after the San Diego Union-Tribune reported Bolivar was also removed as convening authority over the Gallagher case, blah, blah, blah. The CNO, through a spokesman, initially denied stripping Bolivar of that authority Friday, but on Saturday, Richardson's office issued a statement announcing that he had. Like, this stuff is crazy. There is no indication of a connection between Bolivar's alleged ties to Francis and the decision to remove her authority over the Gallagher and Portier cases. Portier is the Navy lieutenant who was Gallagher's platoon commander, who was charged with conduct unbecoming, blah, 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 blah. Now there's going to be a probe into the JAG Corps. She's not a part of the JAG Corps. She's a convening authority. So it'll be interesting when this all comes out in the wash, right, to see, like, why is Admiral Richardson doing that? Because it's like weird shit. When shit happens on When this shit happens over the weekend, like, what's going on there? Another interesting story, something to keep your eye on. Headline, U.S. intends to prevent Turkey invasion into Syria, according to the Secretary of Defense. Yeah, how about that? Intends to prevent. So we're going to get along with Turkey? U.S. Secretary of Defense, who's in Tokyo, said on Tuesday that the U.S. intends to prevent any unilateral invasion by Turkey into northern Syria, saying any such move by the Turks would be unacceptable. U.S. officials have made it clear that an invasion is an extremely risky venture that could threaten the safety of U.S. forces working with the Syrian defense forces and potentially impede the continued defeat of the Islamic State militants in the region. Quote, what we're going to do is prevent unilateral incursions that would upset, again, these mutual interests that the United States, Turkey, and the SDF share with regard to northern Syria, Esper told reporters traveling with him to Japan. He said the U.S. is trying to work out an arrangement that addresses Turkey's concern, adding, I'm hopeful we can get there. But again, approximately 10,000 Turkish troops have been collected along the border to do something. Another interesting little story here. Army halts boat auction, suspends plans for getting rid of maritime fleet. Yeah, the Army owns a Navy. The Army's plan to shutter its watercraft units and auction off boats has been delayed until a study ordered by House lawmakers of the proposal has been completed. Army spokesman Matt Leonard confirmed Monday that the service decided to suspend watercraft transformation while we evaluate the overall watercraft requirements needed to support the National Defense Strategy. The study is expected to be completed by the end of September. So it's interesting. This is a National Guard effort, right? And it's how the Army, you know, it's how the Army gets to war. So, and again, when you're talking about great power competition, talk about getting to Europe, you're talking about getting to the Western Pacific, you better have the ass to get there. Better have the ass to get there. Because the Navy's not, you know, Navy can't get you there. All right. Interesting story in U.S. Naval Institute this morning. There's the National Transportation Safety Board accident report of the USS McCain collision off of Singapore. Let's see. Safety issues identified in this accident include the following. The decision to transfer the location of thrust control on board the McCain while the vessel was in a congested waterway, which the captain did from the bridge. The lack of very high frequency radio communication between the vessels. So they weren't talking to each other. The automatic identification system data transmission policy for Navy vessels. The procedures for the transfer of steering and thrust control on board the McCain. The training of Navy bridge walk standards, the design of the destroyer's integrated bridge navigation system, Navy watch standard fatigue, Navy oversight of the John McCain. So, interesting reading. If you go to, you know, U.S. Naval Institute, and I'll put the link in this hour if you want to take a look at it, but let me see how many pages it is. I can't. 57 pages. I'll be curious to read it, and I will. And let me tell you, some of this stuff I think is bullshit, right? The whole fatigue thing, that's leadership, okay? That's leadership. And here specifically, the XO of the ship told the CO of the ship, you should set the sea and anchor detail, which is the most experienced people on the ship, piloting the ship as it heads to port. He said, nah, we don't need to do it that early. Right? We can wait till we get near the harbor to do it. And you're transiting the Malaccan Straits, which is one of the most trafficked. Go look it up on a map if you don't know where it is. Yeah. It's the one of the, I think there's two ways into the Indian Ocean from the Pacific. The Malaccan Strait is the easiest way. And it's like I-5 at 5 o'clock. There's ships everywhere. It's amazing. So anyway, that in the news. Marine Corps Times. Military wants to add sexual misconduct allegations in a soldier's hazing death. This again is the Staff Sergeant Logan Melger trial. Military prosecutors in Virginia said Monday they want to add allegations of sexual misconduct to the murder case against a U.S. Marine and a U.S. Navy SEAL who are among those blamed for the 2017 hazing death of a Green Beret in Africa. Navy prosecutor Benjamin Garcia made the request at a preliminary hearing at a military court in Norfolk, Virginia. The lieutenant commander said Marine Mario Madeira Rodriguez and Navy SEAL Tony DeDolph were among four servicemen who planned to make a sexual contact against Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melger as he was hazed on video in his bedroom. The overall effort to embarrass Melger ultimately led to his death, according to charging documents. Melger was bound with duct tape, placed in a chokehold to temporarily knock him unconscious before he stopped breathing. The sexual misconduct allegations add a new wrinkle to a case that has pulled back the curtain on misconduct among some of America's most elite service members. And again, you know, when you look at these things, what's disturbing and frustrating about them is that these aren't young guys, right? DeDolph, he's 40 years old. The Marine, Madeira Rodriguez, he's 34 years old. So that was their Article 32. So that will then be used to refer charges against them. Article in Marine Corps Times about Marine Corps tactical vehicle accidents, and Marine Corps and Navy are at a 10-year low. But then they interview families of Marines specifically that have lost their life. And again, you know, the hard part when a vehicle rolls is what you're taught is to drop down into the vehicle. Now, if you're not, you know, for instance, in these razor vehicles, MRZR, if you're not seat belted in and it rolls, you know, you get thrown. And if you get thrown in direction it's rolling and it rolls on you, you're screwed. And so in an LAV, right, it's rolling. Let's just say it's rolling to the left. If you're half out of the hatch, instinctively, right, unless you're trained to it, and you have to do this, you don't drop down in the vehicle. That's not your initial instinct. Your initial instinct will be to jump. Well, as a vehicle, let's just say it turns to the left and it's rolling left. Which way are you going to jump? The safe way is you got to jump over the vehicle and back to the right. Well, you can't do that as the vehicle's rolling to the left. You jump out and then it rolls on you. So anyway, according to data provided by the Navy Safety Center, in the past 7 years, there have been a slight increase in the number of non-combatant-related ground tactical vehicle accidents for what the Navy classified as Class A mishaps. Those are accidents which result in death, permanent or total disability, or $2 million in damages. Overall, however, Navy and Marine Corps non-combat-related tactical military vehicle accidents and rollovers are at a 10-year low. And those mishaps also appear to be on a general decline, according to data provided by the Navy safety system. And then they interview family members. So not exactly a pleasant article. And again, I mean, it's brutal. Another disturbing story. Military children have more health care needs but less access and lower quality, study 5. DoD healthcare. Children in military families insured by TRICARE are more likely to have special health care needs and more likely to have behavioral health diagnosis compared to their civilian peers, according to a new study. Wow. And TRICARE insured families are more likely to report lower health care quality and more problems with access to health care for their children compared to other families who are commercially insured, publicly insured, or uninsured, according to the study published in the August edition of the Journal of Health Affairs. This is believed to be the first known study quantifying the prevalence of children with special health care needs and the prevalence of behavioral health care diagnoses in TRICARE children compared to civilian peers, said two of the study's authors who were interviewed by Military Times, Dr. David M. Rubin and Karen Rizzulli. Rubin is director of the Policy Lab and director of Population. We're going to have to get them on. According to the study, 28.5% of TRICARE-insured children had at least one special health care need compared to 20.2% of children overall. Wow. That's not a small difference. And 15.7% of TRICARE children have behavioral health diagnosis compared to 11.6% overall. All right. I will get them on the program. That's disturbing as hell. A harder time accessing health care and children with a higher incident of a special need and a higher incident, not by an insignificant amount, well beyond, right, the statistical variance of the study. And the general healthcare population in the country. Wow. That's brutal. Another story. Marine Corps Times. Data could soon empower Marines at the edge like never before. Three-star generals sitting in command posts are empowered by vast amounts of data, and Marines in trenches far from static outposts could soon benefit from the same amount of access, according to one official. Quote, the days of having a big COP, which is called a common operating picture, at only one location and trying to push information out are really coming to an end, said General Mark Wise, Deputy Commander of Marine Corps Combat Capability Development Command, told reporters during a media roundtable on the 1st of August. Quote, as we look to the future fight in, say, 2030 and beyond, we're looking at that place where we need to be at some point and the capabilities we need to have. Part of the future fight involves taking advantage of communication technologies to provide Marines at the lowest level, unprecedented levels of situational awareness. So, you know, it's interesting stuff, right? But what happens when everything gets jammed? I mean, because to me, that's the first thing that needs to happen. I mean, were I in charge, you know, we're gonna blow out their satellites. We're gonna stop their microwave technology. We're gonna jam that. Yep, we're gonna jam that. And so, I mean, I like the idea, like, oh, wow, look at it. You know, hey, Staff Sergeant, what's this? Oh, all that red, that ain't good. Oh, shit. yeah, no, I mean, that's all good stuff. You know, but how are you going to get it there? Anyway, all right. You know, this woman has been on All Marine Radio before. And, she does a calendar every year, and her name is Gina Elise, right? She does a calendar called Pin Up for Vets, and what they do is they raise money for hospitalized veterans and personnel currently deployed overseas. So their calendar is out, so you can check it out, right? You also have to do is search on Pin Up for Vets, right? And they've been doing this for years. And there's been a Marine was a part of it last year, Kirstie Ennis, who just received the Pat Tillman Award for service at the ESPYs. She was involved in it last year. So they do cool stuff, and they support legit stuff. So don't be afraid to support them. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, we've already talked about. Before she handled the Seal War Crimes case, one star was tied to Fat Leonard. Again, what doesn't, again, I'll say it again, what doesn't make sense to me is that was adjudicated. She was allowed to stay on active duty. So I don't, why was she stripped of her convening authority power? I don't get it. I don't, there's another piece there that we don't know about. Number two, Monday accelerated change of command ceremony relieved the JAG tied to the SEAL cases. So, her name is Captain Meg Larea. She was early rotated. I don't know if that's a polite term. Right, there was no retirement ceremony. There was no end of tour award. Very quickly, change of command. Number three, Barksdale Commander, Barksdale Air Force Base. Commander admits calling suicide a chicken shit way to go and was a poor choice of words. Now, there was a day and age when you could get away with stuff like this, right? And because of the frustration, right, that people feel towards this issue, right, they say things. But, you know, I will tell you this. It's amazing to me that in this day and age, with the number of people that get relieved for making statements like this, that, you know, if you want this to be your last official statement while you're a commander or whatnot, then, okay, I get it. But if you don't, like, what are you doing? Colonel Michael Miller, commander of Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana and the 2nd Bomb Wing on Monday, admitted a comment he made about suicide at the base's official resiliency day last week was poorly chosen, insensitive, and inappropriate. I'm sorry, but suicide is just a chicken shit way to go, Miller reportedly said in a 1.2-mile run, according to an unofficial Air Force Facebook post. Commenters on Barksdale's own Facebook page also said he made the comment. In a statement provided to Air Force Times on Monday, Major Andrew Kalk, head of the public affairs for the 2nd Bomber Wing, said the reported sentence did not fully represent the context of Miller's remarks. First, let me say that my choice of words was poor, Miller said. I referenced the act of suicide in a manner that was insensitive and inappropriate. However, the one sentence doesn't capture the context or the intent of the message I was trying to relay. Battling through pain to ask for help is one of the most courageous things we can do. Asking for help is hard, so we need to build that sense of family where it is acceptable to ask each other for help. Colonel Miller's intent in talking to the wing on Friday was a call to our airmen to be courageous and seek help. Yeah, just know this. You're on 24/7. And, you know, insensitive stuff gets you in big trouble. Three former, last story in the top five in Early Bird, and then we'll take a break, then we'll get Andy Milbert on. Three former Green Berets caught in cash theft scheme in Afghanistan. Now, this is not the first time we've seen special operators indicted for this. Okay? And let me tell you this. Where did they learn this stuff? Good question, right? Do you think they all dream it up on their own? Or is this just one of the benefits from doing business? It's like being in, it's like when you're in Iraq, the reason you want to be part of the customs service is because you get to take home a lot of money and a lot of stuff that you take from people. So people want to be part of the border patrol. They want to be part of customs because it's a lucrative job. Three former Green Berets were sentenced in July for their roles in a money theft scheme while deployed to Afghanistan. The soldiers embezzled a combined total of $90,000 between July 2009 and January 2010 from the Commander's Emergency Response Program, also known as SERP, a fund that military commanders used to pay for construction during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The men brought $1,000 money orders with stolen cash from Fob Fenty in Jalalabad in the Nangarhar province, and then sent the money back to their spouses, deposited into USAA bank accounts, and paid down credit card balances, according to court filings. Chief Warrant Officer Derek Harper, Sergeant First Class Jeffrey Arthur Cook, and Sergeant First Class Barry Lee Walls each serve 3 years on probation, must forfeit $40,000 and pay $40,000 in criminal restitution. A service official told the Army Times on background that the three soldiers received an honorable retirement, an honorable discharge, and a general discharge, but could not disclose which soldier had received which discharge due to privacy restrictions. My only point in saying this is, you know, we talk about this kind of stuff. You know, we've ridden our special forces hard over the last 18 years. And they grew really fast. And they had great discretion. And a lot of what you're seeing is the fact that we're not a disciplined military anymore. And every part of the United States military needs to accept that and look at how they can be better. And the special forces community specifically has to do that. And you see this stuff. These are the little tricks of the trade that apply to the soft community. You can embezzle money. Been doing it forever. Nobody knows. They give you a huge, you know, pile of cash, and they would. We would have guys with piles of cash, of American greenback cash, in a backpack, going out cert money to go pay for stuff. Right? When there isn't a whole lot of supervision there, guess where some of that money goes? That's right. All right, we'll take a break. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next. And when we come back, Andy Milburn's going to join us. So don't touch that dial. We're going to talk about when do you disobey orders, an article he wrote. So we'll talk. I found mine. You can find the link in yesterday's post, or you can go to War on the Rocks, the website right now, and just do a search under his name. Andrew Milburn, M-I-L-B-U-R-N. So Andy joins us next. We'll talk about that on a Tuesday edition of Allmarine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.